It is a time for giving thanks. The Lord has blessed us with so many wonderful gifts. But how can we thank Him as He would ask us to? To answer this question and many others, join Pastor Paul and the Word Mission Church family on yet another insightful message.
There are so many things we can be grateful to God for. How many of us are thankful to God? I'm thankful. I am thankful. I thank God for my wife. Thank God for the kids. Thank God for this church family. For us, this is family. I tell you, this is family. And we appreciate each and every one. For me, one time, there's some because of how we are here and doing God's work, there are some relatives of mine that I never saw them. They've gone to heaven. One time, there was an aunt. She came to the U.S., and I was very close. She stayed in Washington, D.C. for a while, and I was in the D.C. area. But I called, and she wasn't there. She had moved to the Boston area to be with my cousins. And so, and she was one of my favorite aunts. And so a few months later, she passed. I never got to see her again. But thank God she's in heaven. So right now I have cousins, I have moms, I have aunties, this is family. So we thank God for everyone. Hallelujah. So good to see everyone. All right. Let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. And we are in for a treat. We are in for a treat. Thank you, Lord. All this month we've looked at praise, thanksgiving, and all that. And God has been so faithful. You see, to be thankful, we have to remember. We have to remember. It's easy to forget and get into a state where we forget God's goodness and God's mercy and all that God has done for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's see here. Seems I'm missing some key things here. I need that. All right, so let's turn our Bibles to, for the children of Israel, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. 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 He says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or not. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or not." And then right there, in that same Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he talks about remembering again. He says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." He kept telling them, "I don't want you to forget. I want you to remember it was God who led you these 40 years in the wilderness, when you were in a dry place, when you were in a place where sometimes there was no food, sometimes there was no water. I want you to remember. Don't forget." Amen. Amen. That's right. It will naturally make us grateful. He kept telling them. Notice also a lot. As he says a lot about it. When we remember what God has done for us, it makes us grateful. It makes us walk in our calling. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15. He says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt." For us, we will have to remember that one time we were unsaved. Yes. One time we were in darkness. One time we were in bondage. One time we were outside the kingdom of God. But he says, "The Lord your God redeemed you." Amen. The Lord your God redeemed you. One time you were a slave to the enemy. But thanks be to God, you are no longer a slave. Remember that. Don't forget that. And when we remember that, it makes us. That's what drives me. One time I was unsaved. I was going to church, but I was not saved.
Amen.
That's what drives me and keeps me going. Everybody has to hear this gospel.
Amen.
It will make us conscious. When we are conscious of that, it's so important. Notice what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11. This is just the appetizer. We'll keep going. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11. He says, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servants and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gate, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. Rejoice before the Lord your God, but remember that you are a slave. And remember the fatherless, the widow, the poor, and all these people. It makes us compassionate. It makes us compassionate and accommodate others and be willing to help others who are in that situation as well. Notice Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. Exodus 23, verse 9 says, also, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of... He keeps bringing these things before them so that they won't forget. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And notice also, Jesus talking to his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, verse 5 to 10. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5 to 10. He says, now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, notice, or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up, nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? They were asking about bread. They were going on a journey and had forgotten to take bread. Jesus said, don't forget. Remember, 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 remember. Remember that I multiplied the food to feed 5,000 at some point, 7,000 at some point, 5,000 and 4,000 at some point. The fact that we have taken no bread shouldn't be an issue here. Remember, remember, remember. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, there's a tendency for us to forget. That's why God keeps saying, remember, remember. Notice what he says in Luke chapter in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. When we remember what God has done, it causes us naturally to be grateful. Lamentations 3:21 says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, this I recall. This I bring to mind. I bring it to the forefront. I choose not to forget. Therefore, I have hope. You see, anytime you get hopeless, anytime you feel there is no way out, anytime you feel that it's the end, you feel that you have come to the end of yourself, some way, somehow, you are forgetting who God is. Remember. This I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. What do I recall? I remember that it's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, even waking up in the morning, we sometimes take it for granted. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, I slept and I awoke because the Lord sustained me. The fact that we are alive is because the Lord sustained us. And that is the reason why we have to be thankful and to be grateful. Notice what he says in Psalm 103. What are some of the things that we should recall? Psalm 103 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord. What are some of the things we should recall? Thank you, Lord. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are the benefits? Number one, who forgives all your iniquities? Number two, who heals all your diseases? Number three, who redeems your life from destruction? Number four, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Number six, so that who satisfies your mouth with good or with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This I recall to mind. Forget not his benefit. Who forgives you all your iniquities? Sometimes when we miss it, God is a benefit. God forgives us. If he was counting our sins, none of us will survive. Who heals all your diseases? Remember when you were sick and he healed you. Don't forget. Recall it to mind. Who redeems your life from destruction? Every day that you go and come, people have accidents and don't make it. Why not you? Because God redeems your life from destruction. Yes. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Remember, and be grateful for all that. Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. That was just to get our appetites going. Now we'll get into the main meal. All right, so the thing is, we have to realize that for us, Paul, in writing to the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church, several times kept repeating to them, for us, thanksgiving is a command. Notice what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, and let the word, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. And he talks about let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then he comes back to 17 and says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It actually sets a boundary for our lives. Sometimes in talking to people, they will ask me, is it okay to do this or not do that? Whatever you are going to do, He says, use this yardstick. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Sometimes in talking to young people, I'm also still young, but in talking to younger people, they will say, well, is it okay to do this? Is it okay not to do that? I said, ask yourself this question. Number one, am I doing it in the name of the Lord? And can I give glory and thanks to God for what I'm about to do? Amen. Hallelujah. It will answer the questions for you. All right. Notice again, Ephesians chapter 5. It's also Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. When we are filled with the Spirit, we naturally want to thank God and to praise him. Thank you, Lord. Filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which, Ephesians 5:18, is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he says something similar to what he says to the Colossians, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So many times we dwell on the first part, do not be drunk with wine. But what he's saying, there's more to it than that. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, these are the characteristics of the Spirit-filled life. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are naturally thankful. And then later on, he continues to say, giving thanks for us when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the marks of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is where we are thankful. We are grateful to God. And he gives us songs. Sometimes he may give you a psalm. And spiritual songs, making melody, not ones that are given to you by the Spirit of God. And you begin to sing them out to the Lord and minister. We looked at it in previous lessons. You minister to the Lord. You not glory to God. Thank you, Lord. One time a minister was with somebody and he said, this person got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And one of the things that he kept hearing this person doing was every time he would say, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And when someone who had met them, who knew them before, he said, what's happened to you? I keep hearing you say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. When it's in there, it's going to come out. When you are filled with the Spirit, it's going to come out. I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning, may your joy be full to the overflowing in Jesus' mighty name. That you will continue to give thanks to the Lord. Again, what the Bible says in Hebrews, thank you, Lord, Hebrews chapter 12, thank you, Lord, Hebrews chapter 12, thankfulness and walking in the grace of God go hand in hand together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. We will see something interesting here. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, the NIV reads this way. The NIV, and that translation is also correct. But I want us to see. The NIV says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. So worship God with reverence and awe. Here he says, let us be thankful. There's a close correlation between being thankful and walking in the grace of God. Yes. We talk about the grace of God, but to walk in the grace of God, we must be thankful. We must be thankful. That's what both translations are right, because in the Greek, the Greek word there is charis, And the Greek word for thankfulness is also has that same root word of thankfulness and grace in it. Having received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. You belong to the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken, that cannot be removed. And so no matter what you are faced with, you can be thankful. I belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I belong to a kingdom that cannot be moved. I am in that kingdom and I refuse to be shaken, not to be shaken as well. No matter what I'm seeing, no matter what the circumstances tell me, I thank God for my life. I thank God I am in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. My Lord and my God, I feel like running around this building. Having a kingdom, received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace, or let us be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, when we are full of the Spirit, we are thankful. And when we are not thankful, then there's a leak somewhere. We have to check it. Notice also, when we thank God, we are in the will of God. We are doing the will of God when we thank God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let me switch to the other translation. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. This is the Apostle Paul, who sometimes was in prison for preaching the gospel. He was persecuted for doing the right thing. And he's saying, rejoice always. Is it an easy thing to do? No. Is it doable? Yes. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, it's put that way. Not for everything. You are not thanking God that you are sick. You are not thanking God for the sickness. You are not thanking God that you don't have enough or you are poor. You are not thanking God. But he says, in the circumstance, in everything, give thanks. Because you know, that's what you are saying in Hebrews, you belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know that you have a God and you have a Father and he will take care of you. So do this. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes we ask, what is the will of God? You can know that when you thank God, you are doing the will of God. When you don't know anything else to do, Lord, I thank you. I choose to rejoice always. My. The moment we cease to be thankful, we are out of the will of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Another point here. We must bring our request to God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Thank you, Lord. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I like how he puts it in the Amplified. Be anxious for nothing. The Amplified amplifies it. It adds more to it. He says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Thank you, Lord. He says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Don't fret. or have anxiety about anything. These are, for us, I mean, these are key scriptures. There's a tendency sometimes to be anxious when everything else is coming against you. When it seems that there is no way out. When it seems that you have no hope. When you get to that point, he says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. But in everything. John Wesley said, John Wesley put it this way. He believed that God will do everything by prayer. But you can also add this to it and say that when we pray, he says, don't just pray. Do it with thanksgiving. Continue, the Amplified says, continue to make your wants known to God. Lord, I thank you. When I prayed, you heard me. And I thank you, do like Jesus. I'm running out ahead of myself here. Do like Jesus. I thank you that you always hear me. This request, this need that I have, this situation that is before me, I thank you. Giving thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God. Don't bring your request without thanksgiving. Thank him for it. Thank him. The Lord, he's heard you and he's answered your prayers. And we access the very gates and the presence of God through thanksgiving as well. Psalm 100, verse 4. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's how you access. That's the prescribed way of coming into his presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving throws the gates wide open. Praise causes you to enter into the inner court. And when you get there, he still says, be thankful to him and bless his name. Remember that the Lord is good. Remember that his mercy is everlasting. Remember that his truth endures to all generations. Do not forget any of his benefits. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, that, I mean, it applies to all of us. Notice Jesus. I mean, if he did it, then we should follow in his footsteps. John chapter 6. Later on, he told them to remember. But notice Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 5, pay close attention to this. He says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Don't let that phrase get away from you. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragment that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Jesus has been preaching for 3 days. How would you like to be in some of those meetings? 3 days, you don't go anywhere. this is old time camp meeting on the grass. He's been ministering for 3 days. They were right there for 3 days, hearing the word of God. And Jesus now notices that these people, he says, if I send them away, they will faint along the way. We have to do something about this. But he asked the question, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where is the bread going to come from? This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Knowledge of what to do will put you in command. Philip answered, saying, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Jesus didn't say how much. He heard it differently. Jesus asked him where. He is thinking of how much is going to cost. That's not what Jesus said. The cost doesn't mean anything to him. It doesn't make a difference. Where is it going to come from? For he himself knew what he would do. He had 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 small fish. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. All this time, remember the phrase, he himself knew what he would do. When he took the 5 loaves and barley loaves and the 2 fish, small fish, he didn't start complaining. You see, that's what we do. The little that we have, we start complaining. What did Jesus do? And verse 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he himself knew what he would do. And when he had given thanks, he started distributing. Thanksgiving will lead to multiplication. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He himself knew what he would do. He took it and gave thanks. He took it and gave thanks. What he has is not enough to feed this multitude. It says 5,000 men besides women and children. And you can know that in a crusade, the women and the children are going to be more than the men. When he took it, he gave thanks. He must have known Jeremiah. Don't you think Jesus knew? Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19. There's a close correlation between thanksgiving and multiplication. He says, Jeremiah 30, 19, then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. Notice thanksgiving and multiplication. When we thank God, the little that we have in our hands begins to multiply. You can, by thanksgiving, take yourself from poverty to abundance. He says in Psalm chapter 67, he must have known that as well. Psalm chapter 67, verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 5 says, Psalm 67, verse 5, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let all the people praise him. Let all the people thank him. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. From this morning, as you begin to make thanksgiving and praise a lifestyle in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray may you enter into the blessing of God. Oh, that will cause people to see you and testify and say that this must be God. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. All the ends of the earth. I see someone entering into fearful blessings. Let all the earth praise him. He took it and gave thanks. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. My. He did the same thing when he got to the tomb of Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 41, when he got there, John chapter 11, verse 41, Lazarus, earlier on in John chapter 11, it was reported to him that Lazarus was sick. Then he stayed two more days where he was. Then it went from sickness to death. And he said, this sickness is not to death, it's to glorify God. But notice what he did. For us, death is a big deal. When someone is dead, for us, it's an issue. For Jesus, it's not a big deal. He calls it sleep. Just like waking someone out of sleep. Verse 41 says, then they took away the stone. John 11:41. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Let your request be made known with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. The people are crying. The people are weeping. Lazarus is dead. He has been dead for 4 days. What do you do when you run into the circumstances like that? It's a dead end. It's worse. Family, finances, your health, every area of your life seems like it's dead and it's thinking very bad. They said Lazarus, by this time, he's dead and stinking. 4 days. Do like Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. And I thank you. I know that you always hear me when it is dark, when it looks bleak, when it looks like it is the end. Turn on that key of thanksgiving. I will not forget your benefit. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you that delivered me in days past, you that brought me out in days past, you have done it before, you will do it again. This morning in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, recall it to mind and begin to have hope. And I speak into the circumstances of your life, oh, that look hopeless, that look dead, that look that is gone way beyond recovery. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak life into those circumstances. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray the life will come in it. That family circumstance that looks like it is dead, that looks that health situation that looks like it's gone way past, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak life into it. In Jesus' mighty name, that stinking situation, that situation that looks like there is no hope, I am here to assure you this morning that there is hope, that there is hope, that there is hope, that there is hope. Jesus is not dead. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is hope for you. It might look like there is no way, but I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is the way. Glory be to the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is a way. There is a way. You see, there is nothing that has overtaken, that there is nothing that you are faced with that is not common to man. There is nothing that you are faced with that is impossible for God to do. There is nothing impossible with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is just come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is the way. And thanksgiving is so important in that regard. He says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There is no trial, there is no test, there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. Everything that you are faced with, it has happened before. In the Ecclesiastes, he said, there is nothing new under the sun. The enemy will tell you that your case is different. Your case is special. Your case, there is no way out for you. But I like this phrase, God is faithful. 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 And he will make a way of escape. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. With the test, with the temptation, with the trial, he will make a way of escape. I see somebody this morning escaping. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. With the temptation, we'll make a way of escape. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But we must maintain that attitude of gratefulness, of that attitude of being thankful. In Luke chapter 17, we see some lepers that came to Jesus, 10 lepers. They came to Jesus. They got healed. They were cleansed as they went and showed themselves to the priest. And later on, only one person came back and gave thanks to the Lord. And Jesus told that person, your faith has made you well. Where are the nine? Were they not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Did they think that they just deserved it? Did they think, where are the nine? They are there enjoying the blessing of God without acknowledging the blesser. Only one person was made whole out of the 10, and it was the only person that came back and gave thanks to God, to the Lord Jesus for what he had done for him. I pray that we will be in that company of the one that makes a decision to thank the Lord. We make a choice to thank the Lord. You see, murmuring and complaining, you can't be thankful and complain at the same time. It doesn't work that way. That is the negative side of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. He says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmuring and complaining can get you in trouble. it doesn't help your case. How are you going to complain against the one who is able to help you? One time, God was feeding these people with manna. They got discouraged about how long the journey was taking. They got impatient. And God gave them manna, and they started complaining. Lord, we have been eating manna all this time. We have been eating manna all this time. That sounds like us, right? We have been eating this all this time. Look at where I am. I've been there this whole time. I'm not coming out. And God gave them meat, quail, and while they were eating, the judgment of God came. It says, you see, earlier on in chapter 10, if you read it in context, it says they all passed from verse 1. They were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. Verse 2, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lasted. It was written for us as examples. The conditions were the same. They were all following Moses. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. They ate the same spiritual meat. They drank the same spiritual drink. But with some of them, God was not pleased. Who were the people that God was not pleased with? The people that kept complaining and complaining and complaining. They didn't make the promised land. They didn't get to the destination that God had for them. I pray that will not be your testimony. That you will continue to give praise and glory to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we cease thanking God, we go on a downward, we start spiraling downward. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Thank you, Lord. Romans 1, 21. He says, this is talking about the human race. If you start from verse 20, he says, for since the creation of the world, Romans 1, 20, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They knew God, they didn't glorify God, and they were also what? They were neither were they thankful. So as a result, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Humanity started going downwards when they were not thankful, became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And again, notice what he says. It will be a sign of the end times as well, not being grateful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, thank you, Lord. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. It's bad company to be in. Notice what he says. He says, these are worse things that you don't want to be involved in. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. He places unthankfulness right next to being unholy. I don't want to be in that company. Neither should you want to be in there. Very bad company. Unthankful. And he says that it shall be. He says, know that in the last days, perilous times will come. Because of the times that will come, it will cause people to do all these things, one of these being unthankful. But I pray that we will be grateful. We will be grateful. We'll be thankful. We'll be thankful for his goodness and his mercy. Think about it. As like I said, Psalm 3 verse 5 says, when you sleep and wake up, it is because of God's goodness. When you have, every day of this year, you've had food to eat. I've had food to eat. And when I don't eat, it's because I don't want to eat. It's because there is no food. It's not because there is no food. Thank God for his mercy and for his goodness. And then, as you thank God, you begin to perfect that which remains.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Word Mission Church International. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, we invite you to join us this morning at 10 a.m. Word Mission Church International is located off of Edison Avenue at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80915. For more messages like this, be sure to visit our website at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. If you are in need of a Bible, stop by our church at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 10 a.m., and we'll be glad to bless you with a new Bible. If this message was a blessing and the Lord leads you to partner with us in spreading God's Word, simply text the word GIVE to 719-215-8338. For a tax-deductible gift to the ministry, give to 719-215-8338. Remember to visit the website, www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. Also, let us know how this message was a blessing and how we can help further. Stay blessed. Word Mission Church International. Bible-rich sermons, authentic fellowship.